Pastor Butch Paul. And we're speaking to Melody at her time. This is Financial Survival. And Melody's having a problem with her equipment, and her mic wants to mute. And I've been trying to find a mute button on Marcia for 50 years. But anyway, don't tell her I said that. But nonetheless, we're glad you're with us today. And this is live radio. Obviously, you can tell that. So welcome to what we're trying to do. I said, this is Financial Survival. Melody will join us in a few minutes. And I do not have the market updates, although I do know gold and silver, I think, had a little increase today. And she'll be in a minute to hope to discuss that with us. May have to do it by phone. Not really sure what she's going to do. But nonetheless, we have a lot to talk about today. We want you to come in and join us and share with us. And stay tuned for what we're talking about, because there's a lot of things coming down. My friends, one thing we're not lacking for is headlines and news upon news upon news and more news and more news, to the point that sometimes it can be almost overwhelming. And that's the truth. And I think y'all know that. And so there are times you got to just kind of take a break and walk away. I go out into the woods and talk to my Father in heaven, or take a ride down through the woods and watch some animals, whatever I want to do, just to get my mind unwind and relax a few minutes. And that's the times you live in. I mean, even Christ had to go back in the mountains and pray once in a while. And even the ministers that were sitting, the angels, had to minister to him because of his fasting and prayer time. So we certainly know better than he is. So don't feel bad if you get overwhelmed and need to take a break. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So we're waiting on Melody to come and join us, like I said, and she'll have the market updates when she gets here, I'm sure. I hope she gets here pretty soon. But nonetheless, let's go ahead and start with some news, if you don't mind then, all right? Let's start with a column I thought was really interesting, and I really can't disagree with. This is written by Micheline Maynard, a columnist for the Washington Post, and the headline says, Washington Post columnist to American consumers, you're spoiled. I tend to agree. I've been saying for a long time, we are spoiled. We become soft in every way possible, physically, mentally, even spiritually become soft. We're spoiled people. I think she joined us just then.
Did you hear me?
I just heard you come on. I was getting ready to report the story, but seeing how you're here,
let's finish up.
Okay, well, I just read an article here by Micheline Maynard out of Washington Post. And this is a heading to the column, and I can't disagree with the Melody. I agree with what she's saying. Washington Post columnist to American consumers, you're spoiled. I say amen. We're spoiled. Yeah. Michelle Maynard, a contributing columnist for Washington Post, contends that the supply chain problem isn't really an issue of missed and delayed shipments, higher prices, and lack of goods on shelves. No, it's primarily a problem of the excessively high expectation of American consumers. And I agree with that partly. I do. The inflation, whatever, is not good. But the fact that we've expected everything right now and right away, instant and instantaneous, and if we don't have it, we're upset. That's us. I understand people are getting frustrated, but it's time for people to take a chill pill, says Lisa McDonald, owner of Tea House, an Ann Arbor shop selling tea and gifts. I'm just not going to have the things I usually have. Maybe they aren't going to be any purple mug, but the blue mug is pretty too. The other day I found myself carrying home a loaf of bread in my bare hands because the bakery had run out of bags. Back when we didn't know how good we had it, circa 2019, I might have been annoyed by the inconvenience. Now we're just glad the bakery's still in business. I say amen to that. But the problem is not just a question of what color mugs available in the stores. For a lot of these businesses, the delayed shipment means they don't have goods on the shelves to sell, which means they don't have money coming in from customers. And we're going to cover some of this more points after a while. The Emory Public School System says they are struggling to get enough milk for breakfast and lunch. Vendors can't find bottles for labels for their wine. Hardware stores in the Pacific Northwest have half the goods they normally carry. Toy stores are warning they're already out of Hot Wheels, Mattel, and Lego before the big holiday rush. Special food stores are wondering what they've got to sell with shipments delayed by months. Now, yes, there are some real shortages. There truly are. But what this lady, I think, is trying to tell us is we don't need the specific item we thought we did. We can use, like she said, the blue mug to the purple mug. We can get by folks with a lot less. And this may be, just don't get upset. Don't get irate. Let me finish. It may come a time when you're going to have to do with less what you used to. Maybe you're not going to be able to buy that extra pack of cookies or those donuts or that extra cake, a case of Coke. You're going to cut back on your food bill a bit because inflation is eating you alive. You're going to find out you can exist without junk food. fast food. You can. You can exist without it. I promise you can. When I grew up, we didn't have fast food anywhere in the area. Free some ever eat out, and a Coke was a luxury. And I survived just fine, folks. I did. So this article should be taken the way it said. We expect too much all the time, more than we need. And again, if you can have it, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But we got accustomed to it now, and we don't get it. But as far as inflation, whatever goes, it's not funny. It's not funny. I bought a sack of corn today, Melody, at the feed store. Sack of corn last year, a 50-pound bag, was $6 and change. You know what it is now?
20.
No, not that much. But it's $10.59. About $4 up. I mean, over half again what it was last year. Just in corn, now. This is whole corn. This isn't anything, you know, fancy.
Just feeder corn.
Yeah, it's up over four. It's about $4 a bag more than it was last year. Now, if you're raising cattle, a lot of cattle, that's a lot of money. And sweet feed, which I give once in a while, I keep them tame with it. I don't get much of it. I don't like to give cows a lot of grain. I'd rather be grass fed. But I give them some sweet feed, so they come to me one on one on my hill. Shake a can, here they come. It went up from 8 a bag to almost 12 a bag. That's quite an increase, is it not, in a year's time?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It truly is. So, yes, inflation's real, folks. It really is. But go ahead, Melody.
But what you were talking about, us not, using the purple mug for the orange ones, I think I was just talking about that yesterday.
Were you?
I think I just mentioned it. See? Were you paying attention there, mister?
I don't think you did. I think you're making it up. I think you have dementia problems.
I don't make up anything. I don't make up anything. No, I was talking about how, you know, with the shelves and Christmases, we're just not going to have the products that we have. And maybe that's okay. We have less. It's okay to have less.
I don't know how you grew up when you were young, but Mom and Dad were not wealthy people. And we didn't get everything we wanted. We had more than we ever needed, to tell you the truth. But we didn't get everything we wanted. And no one cried about it. It's just the way it was.
I didn't know we weren't getting the things that we wanted. Well, because we always had what we needed.
I totally agree.
You know, we didn't have the 24/7
access
advertising thrown into our face either. There wasn't the products. There wasn't the things for children to have. There wasn't, you know, iPads. There wasn't iPhones. There wasn't
iPhones,
games.
Yes.
There wasn't videos. There wasn't all this kind of stuff. Because I'm sure if there were in those days, we'd want them too. And then maybe we would have realized that we were poor. But,
Well, everybody else was equally broke then, too. Those items were not out there. That's just the way it was. And all the neighbors I knew growing up were not wealthy people. I'm going to say they were hurting. Some were much better off probably than we were. But everybody lived basically the same way. So I had no reason to complain, and I still don't.
Oh, I'm not complaining about anything. But, you know, when I was younger, there really were like three groups of people. You really did have the people in the city of the town who really were wealthy. I don't know in today's term how much wealth that was. And then you really had the people in the middle. And then you did have the poor folks.
Yes.
You know, so there really was like, you know, three of the three groupings. But I don't think we really recognize the difference. We recognize the more wealthy, but the middle class and the less, it seems like we, you know, it just was.
We're just neighbors, that's all.
Just neighbors.
Neighbors, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, you go ahead with, I know you're going to do the market report, so you go right ahead, and I'll keep some other stories for later.
Well, today we have gold that was up 470 in the New York spot price after market, 1770, and $16 lower than the high of the day. So that's what they put the kibosh on it, but we still gained, almost $5. Silver was the same kind of a thing. The high for the day on silver was $24.21. Right now we're at $23.74. So still a good day, up over 2%. Platinum was up $9 at $1,049. Palladium was up $82,184. The USDX today was down 0.20 at 93.76. Crude oil was up 40 at 82.84. paper markets today. The Dow was up 198, 35,457. S&P was up 33 at 4,519. The NASDAQ was up 107 at 15,129. Let me turn that off. Asian markets today were positive. Europe markets were positive, all except France. They were down just a little bit. The bonds, let's take a peek at the 10-year. 1.63% for the 10-year yield. 1.63%. So, earnings is coming out. And, of course, everybody beats their earnings. You know, it is really funny. You pick a number and everybody, oh, we beat that. Oh, we beat that. Sure, we did. It is really kind of funny. But anyway, Wall Street and government likes to make things up. And they do such a great job at it.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. You know, if you get enough people saying the same thing, what's that? Everybody believes it, right?
They certainly do.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. So, anyway, so that's it. There really wasn't any, you know, they're talking about wages bouncing back. Some Social Security beneficiaries will benefit. But there really wasn't, it was kind of a strange day. Kind of a strange day, Butch.
Well, the finances, and I'm not an expert by any means, but I watch them. I do watch them, obviously. I do this broadcast with you. But they're everywhere, up and down everywhere. And it's almost confusing because when they say it's bad news, there's nothing really different. They say it's good news, nothing's really changed. They just give you numbers and figures, but everything stays the same, seems like, basically. Overall, nothing really has blew up or changed a whole lot. Gold and silver are gaining ground again. And we know they will steadily over a period of time. But the market's going up again, which is the same story. It always has been. They're inflated. They're up. They're 35, almost 35.5. So that's highly inflated. We know that also. So nothing really changed except the fact that they're setting us up one day for a big takedown, are they not?
That's you would think.
It looks like.
But you know, I mean, there were some, you know, headlines you could have paid attention to. You had, you know, the question is how many workers are going to be laid off. I saw one of the airlines is not backing the mandate for vaccinations for its employees, so they're backing down on that.
Yep.
You have U.S. home building, they stumble. You know, they have problems with supply constraints, and that's beginning to grow. Here was an interesting one that I thought: single-family rents are surging. Demand for single-family rental homes is showing no sign of easing up, pushing rents through the roof.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Even here nationally, where you live, it's the same thing.
Nationally, rents rose 9.3% in August, year-over-year, up from a 2.2% year-over-year increase in August of 2020. So, yeah, that demand, those single-family rental homes, it's not good. We don't have any affordable living here in this country as it is. So that is not good. And I have to check to find out where the moratorium is on those rental properties. Yes, on those rental properties.
Is the moratorium? I thought it'd been lifted already.
Pardon?
I thought the moratorium was no longer in existence.
That's what I thought, but I wanted to double check.
I don't think it's in existence. I don't think so. I don't know that, but I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Well, you look that up, I will share this. Consumer goods giant to raise prices on more staples, blames increase in cost on raw materials. Of course, we know that's happening. Procter & Gamble said it will raise price on a number of household staple goods as the cost for raw materials and freight has increased faster than it anticipated. The company, which makes its range of products, including Tide and Charmin, said it would begin to charge more for oral care, beauty, and razors. Early this year, Procter & Gamble said it would charge more for toilet paper and diapers. So, those are pretty much household goods. And, yes, the price is going up. Again, I said even for something as for a sack of corn, plain old, heavy, just regular field corn, 50-pound bag, went up almost $4. I mean, that's quite an increase. So, Yeah, prices going up. There's no point discussing that beyond that because it is happening. It truly is. Did you find what you're looking for, Melody?
Still looking.
Okay. And China curbs on fertilizer exports to worsen global price shock. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, from every direction. Some Chinese fertilizer cargoes ready to be shipped are being held up by local authorities for additional checks or to obtain new export certificates, according to people familiar with the matter. The supplies will either end up being sold on the domestic market or face delays in being exported, said the people who asked not to be named as they are not authorized to speak on the matter. The increased scrutiny comes as global fertilizer costs have soared to new records, spurred by energy crisis in Europe and China as coal and natural gas are important feedstocks. The cost increase comes at a particularly worrying time when global food prices are hitting a 10-year high. Now, folks, fertilizer is needed for food, obviously. Now, if you had natural fertilizer like cow manure or even chicken manure, all that's better than the chemical fertilizer, but chemical fertilizer is being used everywhere about every day. The new measures implemented by Chinese authorities follow a customs regulation that kicked in October 15th, requiring additional inspection of fertilizer exports. It also follows a notice from the National Development and Reform Commission, China's top economic planner, that called for stable fertilizer supplies and prices given its importance to agriculture production and food security. The General Administration of Customs added new inspection requirements on 29 categories of products, including urea to ammonium nitrate, according to notice this month. Despite that, the blistering rally in China's fertilizer market shows no sign of cooling, which benchmark urea futures holding near a record. China's move to curb fertilizer exports will be felt around the world, as it is likely as a key supplier of urea sulfate and phosphate, according to about 30% of global trade. 30% of global trade depends on their fertilizer, and it's being held up. That will obviously ultimately mean another price and another food and price increase. I don't know, folks, if it's going to come to an end, when or how. Maybe never. I don't know. But food prices and essentials are going up, no doubt about it. You got to pay rent, you got to buy food, you got to buy electricity. We'll cover more in a minute, but electricity prices are going through the roof. And so natural gas prices, even in the USA, folks, is catching up to us. Go ahead, Melody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree. The evictions were off, but I thought perhaps that in his $3.5 trillion bill, I think he had wanted to do something with that, too. But we're heading into a break, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I am 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And
I forgot who you were there for a second. I am 800-375-4188.
Well, I am 800-375-4-1. I really am. That is a part of me. So, no, I didn't forget who
was.
I didn't remind you
what your name was. Okay, that's good.
But I was looking for that article. I was actually looking for that article that I received this morning about a program that I was talking to you and Todd about during the break. And it's just, here it is. It's from this website, but what it is they're trying to tell people that the government, from what I understand from our conversation, the government was going to create 800 numbers so you could convert your fiat dollars into gold. And you'd have to give all the information so they could confirm who you are.
Oh.
And I'm just like, are you serious? There was a program like that floating around. It sounds like a scam to me. And it's like, you don't give your information to anyone. But yeah, and supposedly these people are waiting for this 800 number. It's like, oh my gosh.
That doesn't sound feasible at all. That is not. That
no.
Can't be true.
Well, yes, it can be true, but it sounds to be a scam.
It's a scam. I'm pretty sure it's a scam. I wouldn't want to touch it.
I know.
Wow.
And it's just like, wow. So be careful out there, because the higher the prices go and the more difficult, not just gold and silver, but all the uncertainty and all the turmoil and chaos across this country, as that increases and gold and silver prices increase, there's going to be all kinds of bizarre schemes coming out.
Guaranteed.
And they'll all sound like too good to be true.
I remember several years ago, a lady got involved with a wholesale grocers network, and they could buy groceries really cheap. And she ended up losing thousands of dollars in that wholesale grocers network, like a pyramid type thing.
Yeah.
She lost lots of money, folks. Be careful. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is not true. So
trust me, the government's not going to be giving you an 800 number so you can redeem your fiat dollars into gold.
No.
No.
No way. And back to the food problem again. These people are hoarding. Food shortages are the next supply chain crunch. People are hoarding. Now, this may come out as being maybe a little bit obnoxious, but why shouldn't people hoard food, keep food? That hoarding is supplying up for the future, folks, is not hoarding. That's common sense. We grew up canning everything we could in the summertime, so we have some food in the wintertime. It's not hoarding to prepare your family for hard times, is it, Melody?
Absolutely.
So, but they're called hoarding. Mm. In Denver public school, children are facing shortages of milk. In Chicago, a local market is running short of canned goods and boxed items. But there's plenty of food. There just isn't always enough processing and transportation capacity to meet the rising demand as the economy revs up. More than a year and a half after the coronavirus pandemic upended daily life, the supply of basic goods at grocery stores and restaurants is once again falling victim to intermittent shortage delays. I never imagine that we'd be here in October 2021 talking about supply chain problems, but it's a reality, said Vivek Shekaran, chief executive officer of Albertsons Company, who echoed the laments of other retailers. Any given day, you're going to have something missing in our shelves, and it's across categories. But hoarding, folks, no, stocking up on things you need, that's not hoarding. I don't understand. They get by with saying that. They've actually talked about maybe making hoarding illegal. But that's not hoarding. I mean, we put back staples around the house all the time when we can, not even thinking anything's going to happen next week. But that's just being wise. The least you do is save money because prices are going to go up. Put back what you can when you can. Does that make any sense, Melody?
Absolutely, it does. And, you know, it's you just have to continue to prepare and to save. And, you know, and again, the key thing is being smart about it. You can waste thousands and thousands of dollars if you're not smart about what you're purchasing. And that's key. So think about things before you just go out and let the emotion take over. But you keep adding and adding and turning over your survival stuff. That's, to me, I think that's important.
Well, it's just common sense to me. It always has been. You know, whether it's a natural disaster, a man-made disaster, or an economic downturn, who knows? But be ready. If you have family to feed, make sure there's something here to feed them. Maybe it won't be anything fancy, but it'll be something they can eat. And remember the other day we talked about the stores, Walgreens closing in San Francisco. Remember that story?
Yes, I do.
Well, San Francisco Chronicle is missing the point in Walgreens shoplifting, industry experts say. Now, this San Francisco Chronicle story that cites police shoplifting data to cast doubt on Walgreens' explanation that organized rampant retail theft is a reason for its closing five more stores in the city misses a point by downplaying that most shoplifting cases in the city are never reported to law enforcement, a California retail advocate told National Review. According to police data published by the Chronicle on Friday, two of the five stores that Walgreens is closing have reported fewer retail thefts so far in 2021 compared to 2020. One store has reported only three retail thefts. Another has reported only seven. But Rachel Michelin, president and CEO of the California Retail Association, said it's not surprising that police reports don't show the true impact a surge of shoplifting is having on the city's retailers. Most shoplifting cases aren't reported, she said. The reason is that they're not reported because nothing would happen if they were reported. That's the reason, folks. They don't even investigate anymore. They don't care unless it's over a certain amount. The debate came to a head last week when Walgreens announced that it's closing five more stores in the city and cited ongoing organized retail crime as a reason for this decision. Retail theft across our San Francisco stores has continued to increase in just the past few months to five times their chain average. Walgreens announced, adding that the company has increased its investments in security measures in San Francisco to stores to 46 times the chain's average. 46 times. The retailer previously said it had closed 17 stores in the city over the past 5 years. At issue here is organized retail crime, by which I mean with a professional thieves steal goods from retailers that are ultimately sold primarily in online digital marketplaces, Walgreens spokesman Phil Caruso said in an email to National Review. So they quit reporting crimes, Melody. The cops can't do anything about it. They don't do anything about it. This is over a certain amount. They don't even come and check on it. So why report it, right?
And you're right.
They've invested 46 times the amount on security in these stores that still can't keep them safe. Folks, that is not a slur on Walgreens. That's a slur in law enforcement and courts. When crime goes unpunished, according to the scriptures even, it only gets worse. That's Bible, folks. It truly is. So punishment, if criminals are not punished, why should they quit being criminals? In this case, crime is paying pretty well.
Yeah, it is.
So, I feel sorry for Walgreens and the stores in San Francisco. Really, I feel sorry for the employees. They're going to lose their jobs. I do. And these people are stealing from their own neighborhoods. They're destroying their own neighborhoods. They don't seem to care, though, do they?
No, they don't.
It's really a sad situation, folks. And businesses can't even depend on a cop show up and being robbed. That's really sad.
Can you hear me, Butch?
I can hear you just fine, yes.
Okay.
Right. I can just fine. It's doing well. unions have made supply chain problems worse. It's going to go over very well. Organized labor headlines typically offer a zap of top-line stock. UPS is paying some drivers $134,000 a year. Wow. Six figures to drive a truck. Philadelphia is paying a police detective. Now, listen to this. It's paying a police detective $310,000 a year. But those six-figure sums don't capture the true cost. As can be seen with the enormously costly backup at the port complex in San Pedro, California, which handles about 40% of U.S. container ship cargo, the issue is not so much high wages as highly rigid and inflexible labor practices. That's right. I worked in the mines, folks. Unions can be very, very touchy on some things. The problem is, and this problem in San Pedro isn't that the longshoremen are earning on average $171,000 a year. Gee whiz. Plus the usual generous benefits. The problem is that the ships are not being unloaded in a timely fashion. Instead, the ships have been sitting at sea, where there might normally be no more than one ship waiting at anchor for a spot to unload. There recently has been as many as 95 ships melting. And these ships are floating towns. They're huge. And 95 of them backed up because of longshoremen unions are not doing what they could do to get them unloaded. And they're paid $171,000 a year, average labor. That's not bad money. I believe I could exist on that, I do believe. Mm. So, but that's, you have to, there has to be some give and take sometimes, even with unions and what's going on. There has to be something, some way to make things work, give a little bit to get things back on a roll again, then go back to normal. But apparently there's no flexibility here for these people.
You know, this morning I saw an interview, and it was a little girl, it was a teenager, and the school in California, I can't remember which city it was in, and the teacher, you know, a couple of years ago opened this classroom to these high schoolers to learn how to drive big rigs. And they have it there, not only do they learn how to drive it, but it's a hands-on experience. You know, so they get to know what air brakes are. They get to know what all this is. They get to know how the truck works. So, you know, when they can't drive long haul until they're 21, but they can begin getting the experience, working, networking, and all this kind of thing. So they can, you know, because most of your trucking now across country is done by big firms. And what he was talking about is the truckers, you know, because it's an aging population. And he says he thinks it's going to get much worse before it gets better as far as having drivers for these trucks. And he said, he says basically we're only getting our new employees is we're stealing them from other companies. So they're just, you know, switching employees around. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but kudos to this man for having a little bit of insight into the problem and starting this program years ago. Amen. And he was a trucker once himself. So, and now he teaches at this high school. So these are the kinds of classes that I believe schools need to have. They eliminated so many of them, you know, at one, you know, I mean, heck, I don't know if they still have, you know, home ec for girls in high school. You know, it's probably an option anymore or something. So I think that was a great, great idea, great plan, and a great service to that community and for these kids.
I agree. Of course, that's being today, that'd be, what's the word? It's just for girls. No, we can't have that. Boys got to be able to do it.
Well, no, it's a mixture. They just happen to have the girl. They just happen to be interviewing the girl.
Well, that's the way it was when I was in high school. They had a home ec, and most 99% of them were girls for sure.
Oh, home ec,
had vo-tech for, you know, for the boys mostly.
Yeah.
I didn't have a girl in my class. Nothing wrong with that. This wasn't being anything wrong with the same
one. No, of course not.
No, it's just what we've done, and we learned trades. And how to do things with their hands. Absolutely. I agree. At shipping containers, Melody, that spent weeks aboard ships stuck at ports are now being dumped in nearby neighborhoods. What do you think about that? With the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach now running 24/7 operation, a new problem has occurred. Many of the shipping containers that spend weeks on board ships waiting to be unloaded are now being dumped in nearby neighborhoods once they're emptied. Wow. Sonia Cervantes lives along Anaheim Street, where UTCI Trucking Company is located. The company's lot only has capacity for 65 containers. The additional containers now line up along Anaheim Street in front of some people's homes. I don't think, folks, that's going to fly very well. I really don't. I would have to go in at 6:30 a.m. to go to work. There was a trailer already blocking my driveway, so I couldn't get out. With no driver in the trailer, so we would honk and honk, and it was just crazy. Right now, with the ports and everything that's going on over there, we're stuck with the containers having to bring them all to the yard, and we only have so much space. So UCTI trucking owner Frank Anaheim. So they're sitting in the street for they park them in the street for so long every day, so they can move them out of there. And they're huge. Blocking people's driveways might get a little bit irritated, especially if you have to go to work. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame that they have no place to park them, but you just can't dump them in front of somebody's house. You just can't do that. I don't know what the answer is, but that's not it. You just don't do that. That's not even rude. It's going to cost people maybe money from a job, maybe lose a job because they can't get to work. I don't know. Just a comment on that. Want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's covered.
I think so. Energy crunch hits global recovery as winter approaches. Now, this article is a little bit startling in some things. Power shortages are turning out streetlights and shutting down factories in China. The poor in Brazil are choosing between paying for food or electricity. Folks, that's coming here, I promise. German corn and wheat farmers can't find fertilizer made using natural gas. And fears are rising that Europe will have to ration electricity if it's a cold winter. Now, Europe, we're talking about Europe, not Brazil, not China, but Europe. The world is gripped by an energy crunch, a fierce squeeze on some of the key markets for natural gas, oil, and other fuels that keep the global economy running and the lights and heat on in homes. Heading into winter, that has meant higher utility bills, more expensive products, and growing concern about how energy-consuming Europe and China will ever recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. I know we're going to go to break in a second here, so try to find the end of the sentence here. Rising energy costs are another pressure point on the businesses, and consumers already feeling the pinch of higher prices when supply chain and labor constraints. The biggest squeeze is in natural gas in Europe, which imports 90% of its supply, largely from Russia, and where prices have risen to five times what they were at the start of the year. Five times higher than what they were at the start of the year. So yes, folks, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt right in the pocketbook. Let's break down.
Yes, it is. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survivor.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What do you have next for us? I'm just listening to the news you're reporting. It's been a crazy, I don't even know how many weeks, so I'm just kind of sitting here and taking it all in, Butch.
Okay, just don't snore too loud. But anyway,
try not to.
This is good news for West Virginia, especially, and Pennsylvania and Kentucky and other states around us. Coal-fired electricity forecast to rise in the U.S. for the first time in 7 years. And coal has been the backbone of our economy in this state ever since I've been a little boy. I mean, it has been for years. As natural gas prices surge, coal-fired generation in the U.S. is set to increase for the first time in 7 years, a government forecast finds. U.S. Energy Information Agency said coal-fired generation will jump 22% this year. The EIA notes that in many parts of the country, power plants choose between the two sources. So, so the year-to-date delivery cost of natural gas to U.S. power plants have averaged $4.93 per million British thermal units, more than double last year's price. So, yeah, folks, coal is a viable option for decades. It's been what's fueled everything from power plants to the steel mills in Pittsburgh and places. That's fueled by coal. Everybody says, what's a dirty? It's a dirty product. No, it's not dirty. It depends where the coal comes from. There are good seams of coal that are very low on pollutants, and some they're not so good. But they do have scrubbers now, and they do work. And they've been working all along until Biden got in office and said he's going to shut down mines. And he did, folks. I lived through that. I know. Part of my job was I would call on coal mines to sell me industrial supplies to some of the workers there and some of the plants and some of the truckers there. And so I know what Biden did to the coal industry. And Trump did not help it a whole lot. I know before he's elected, we saw signs up. Trump picture said, hang on, coal miners, I'm coming. He didn't do a lot to help it. Now, maybe he couldn't. I have no idea. But he didn't. So this might be a boost for the economy in our area. And I think any state, especially West Virginia, being the portion in the nation, according to figures, can use it. So that's good news, Melody.
That is good news. You know, China uses a lot of coal.
Sure they do. Mm-hmm. I won't say it's cheap, but it's cheaper than natural gas, a whole lot cheaper. So why not use it? It saves people money, the consumer money, and it does the job. It's done it for years and years. This is not a trial and error. They've done it for years and years. So this is a good step in the right direction for a lot of states, including West Virginia, where I come from. So there you go. And everybody's excited, too, about we're going to have electric cars on the road. We're going to have electric cars. No more fuel-burning, fossil-burning automobiles that pollutes the atmosphere. Well, folks, that ain't exactly going to work out that way. Electric vehicles certainly are dirty. Their battery packs are poised to be one of the biggest new sources of pollution. We got to understand there's no such thing as free energy. Maybe some solar panels a little bit for a little while. But no such thing as really pollutant-free energy that's good enough, powerful enough to run our economic system in this country and keep everybody running. It's just not available. It's just not there. It can't be done. The National Energy Agency said that this year expecting 145 million electric vehicles worldwide by 2030. It's not like forever off, folks, but just about 8 years. If governments ramp up efforts to meet international energy and climate goals, the number could soar even higher, up to 230 million, and that's not counting two- and three-wheel vehicles. That's a lot of new cars hit the global markets. Also, a lot of batteries. And folks, these are not normal batteries. Although EVs do not release carbon dioxide during the use, their production and that of batteries exerts the same toll on the environment as in conventional cars, while the recycling of lithium-ion batteries poses unique challenges. So it costs just as much to make them. Think about that. Lithium-ion batteries are bulkier and take more space than their traditional counterpart, lead-acid batteries. To make matters worse, they're highly flammable and even explosive if dismounted incorrectly.
Just ask Boeing.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely, absolutely. And you see, by the way, I've seen on TV those little hover rounds where people stand up and ride around, the batteries blew up and burned the house down. Yeah. I'm serious, folks. The next 10 to 15 years, there'll be millions of end-of-life electric cars worldwide. Let me repeat that. Millions of end-of-life electric world cars worldwide. Folks, when the cars today go away, they put them in junk piles and scrap them for metal or sell them for parts. You can't scrap these near as easily because the batteries are going to be in them, and they don't know where to put them. Think about this. By that time, recycling plants need to be ready not only to take in all those batteries, reclaim valuable parts and metals, but also to properly dispose of the waste. Sadly, not much is being done on that front. Currently, only 5% of all lithium-ion batteries are being recycled. If no action is taken, battery waste could become a big problem, not only for the car industry, but also for the environment. So if you want to save the environment, my friends, you got to think ahead in the future. You can't just jump on something because it sounds good. And I want to tell you that charging this car, your car is going to cost you more than a tank of gas. Your power, electricity bill is going to be going up. Now, if they cut back on electricity, like they say they may have to, electricity gets too expensive, well, then how are you going to afford to charge your cars? And if the power is turned off, how are you going to charge your cars? How are you going to do that? That's a fair question. And with these lithium-ion batteries, where are they going to put them when the car's jumped? Will they explode when they're hit by other cars on the highway, perhaps? We don't think through those things, do we?
No, we just get caught up in the sensationalism of it and,
sure,
you know, the touting by a group of people. And, hey, electric vehicles sounds like a great idea. But you're right. Nobody thinks through all the way to the end. How many miles can you put on an electric battery, on a battery?
I have no idea how long to go.
No idea.
I know with the better solar panels, and I have some solar energy here a little bit in my home, the batteries have a lifespan about 8 to 10 years, I'm told. So mine are about ready to run out. What do you do with them? Who's going to take them? Who's going to take them and dispose of them properly? My friends, you got to think on these things before you jump off the cart and jump into the road and think about something better out there. Chicago police may deny benefits to officers who choose retirement over vaccine mandate. How in the world can they do this? Chicago Police Department's top cop has threatened to deny retirement benefits to those who choose to retire from the job rather than comply with the COVID-19 vaccination policy, according to local reports. Chicago Police Superintendent David O'Brien said that those officers who do choose to retire rather than to follow City Hall's orders may be denied retirement credentials, the Chicago Tribune reported, citing Brown's Sunday memo. A spokesperson for the police department would not comment or confirm the report to Fox News and referred other further questions to the office of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. The Lightfoot administration required that city workers report their COVID-19 vaccination status to be placed on unpaid leave, setting a deadline for this past Friday. Those who did not submit their vaccination status were told they would be placed on unpaid leave. Lightfoot said that though pay status would not take effect until after the weekend because confirming compliance would take time. My expectation is that people who swore an oath to serve and protect the city are going to honor that oath, and they're going to show up, they're going to report for duty, and they're going to comply with a legal directive from the city and an order from the police department, Lightfoot told reporters Thursday. Anything less will be insubordination. It may be legal, darling, but it's not lawful. You can't demand an individual to put something in his body that's against his common sense judgment or against his Christian or religious beliefs. That may be legal in your eyes, but it's not lawful. And to deny them the retirement benefits after they've been working 15, 20, 30 years, whatever, to deny them the benefits because they won't take the jab, That absolutely is absolutely evil beyond words. Melanie, this is where we're headed. This is called a tyranny, is it not?
You know, and also this just came out in the U.S. Supreme Court declined Tuesday to hear an emergency appeal of a vaccine requirement imposed on Maine healthcare workers, the latest defeat for the opponents of vaccine mandates. It was the first time the Supreme Court weighed in on a statewide vaccine mandate. It previously rejected challenges of the vaccine requirements for New York City teachers and the Indiana University staff and students. Justice Stephen Breyer rejected the emergency appeal but left the door open to try again as the clocks tick on the Maine's mandate. And, of course, we know that that was put in place by the Governor Janet Mills, requiring hospital workers and nursing home workers to get vaccinated or risk losing their jobs. And opponents tried to block the mandate, but the federal judge rejected the request on April 20th. So there you have it. You know, it's.
Well, this could lead to some problems, I'm afraid.
Some
problems. And this is an article. This, folks, we need to wade through these things. I won't mention who it is in my family, but it's a close family member whose in-law side of the family got vaccinated. And a couple of them are ill right now, almost dying. They're that concerned about it. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Ireland town, now listen to this, an Ireland town in County Waterford is 99.7 fully vaccinated, and they're seeing a massive outbreak of COVID. How? What's going on here? If they're fully vaccinated, how come you're seeing an outbreak of COVID? Massive outbreak. Massive, massive COVID outbreak.
And New Zealand, they still shed,
yeah? Yeah, they do. And New Zealand COVID cases hit record despite vaccination push. Folks, the vaccinations aren't working. We've put enough proof forth in this program right here last few couple weeks to prove this. This is all facade. It isn't working. It isn't working. And they are spreading the disease themselves to other people. That is also a scientific fact. Now listen to this, Melody. New York City judge prevents father from visiting his daughter unless he takes the COVID vaccine. A judge in New York City has blocked your father's right to see his three-year-old daughter unless he agrees to take COVID-19 vaccine. And yes, really, folks, this happened. In early September, Evan Sheen, an attorney acting on behalf of the mother in the couple's divorce case, the family has not been named, raised concerns about the father's vaccination status, leading high-profile judge Matthew Cooper to suspend his visitation rights until he received the jab. According to Cooper, the father needs to submit to the shot because it has become a prerequisite to participate meaningfully in any everyday society. In other words, if you don't have the jab, you really can't participate in society. You become a non-person. The dangers of voluntarily remaining unvaccinated during access with the child while the COVID-19 virus remains a threat to children's health and safety cannot be understated, said the judge. So there you go, parental rights revoked. Because they won't take a vaccine. When is enough enough? When is enough enough? Mm. And it's finally been caught in New York Post. Biden administration quietly flies illegal immigrants to New York in middle of night.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can believe that. I'm sure it's more than New York.
Three different. I think there was various cities.
Yeah. Yeah, they stop in different ways on the way up there, too, by the way. But they said they fly in some 2,000 migrants have arrived in this one airport in Westchester County Airport in suburban New York on 21 flights. 2,000 have been brought in. Teenagers and some maybe in they said maybe early 20s. Illegally flying into the state of New York to dump them off. They've been sent in different places to watch after them. But he's doing that to alleviate the problem on the border. My. And on the way, some good news. Doctors can prescribe ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, off-label for COVID-19. Nebraska Attorney General says we will not block the doctors in our state from giving these two treatments that we know that work to the people in our state. So thank goodness for that. One, the Nebraska AG says ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are common things we use for this. We're going to use it. And New York, North Korea test fires submarine launched ballistic missile. And because of that, they called off the arms fair in Seoul, because it's overshadowing the arms fair. So there's going to be another discussion maybe on some other things here. So, folks, we're seeing many things happen and come together worldwide, that the pot is definitely boiling on the stove. And it's plugged up. There's no outlet. Something's going to give. And one more closing article. Rachel Levine, which is a transgender, whatever, is sworn in as a four-star admiral.
Can you believe that? Never. I don't think she ever served a day in the service.
She didn't. No, he didn't. He's a he. He's a he looking like a woman.
Right.
And not very pretty with that. But anyway.
I know.
I mean, that would be a disgrace for any woman. But nonetheless.
But the whole point is she didn't even serve. He didn't even serve.
He didn't.
So how do you become a four-star general and you don't even serve in the services?
That's
how does
good.
That
you
happen?
Jump right to the top. And he's going to be the head over 6,000-person force. The U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps, a 6,000-person force will be under his command. There you go, Melody. That's the news and the views of the day.
We'll be right back. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So please join us. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.